नष्टप्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो वन एंटाइटल्ड क्रिएशन Chapter 11, entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, text number 36. Uddham bhava vishunamala varguhasa Uddham bhava vishunamala varguhasa व्रीडावलोकनिहतो मदनो पियासां व्रीडावलोकनिहतो मदनो पियासां सम्मुह्य चापं अजहात् प्रमदोत्तमास्ता सम्मुह्य चापम् अजहात् प्रमदोत्तमास्ता यस्येन्द्रियं विमथितुं कुहकैर्नशेकुः उद्धाम वेरी ग्रेट भाव एक्सप्रेशन Vishuna, exciting. Amala, spotless. Valguhasa, beautiful smiling. Vrida, corner of the eye. Avaloka, looking. Nihataha, conquered. Madanaha, Cupid. Or a Madana, the greatly tolerant Shiva. Api, also. Yasam, whose? Sammuhya, being overpowered by. Chapam, boast. Ajahat, gave up. Pramada, woman who maddens. Uttama, of high grade. Ta, all. Yasya, whose. Indriyam, senses. Vimathitum, to perturb. Kuhakai, by magical feats. Na, never. Shekuhu was able. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Although the queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and although they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration, and although even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to them, still, despite all their magical feats and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. Purport. The path of salvation or the path going back to Godhead always forbids the association of women, and the complete Sanatana Dharma or Varnashram Dharma scheme forbids or restricts association with women. How then can one be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is addicted to more than 16,000 wives? This question may be relevantly raised by inquisitive persons really anxious to know about the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. And to answer such questions, the sages at Naimisharanya have discussed the transcendental character of the Lord in this and in following verses. It is clear herein that the feminine attractive features which can conquer Cupid or even the supermost tolerant Lord Shiva could not conquer the senses of the Lord. Cupid's business is to invoke mundane lust. The whole universe is moving, being agitated by Cupid's arrow. The activities of the world are being carried on by the central attraction of male and female. The male is searching after a mate to his liking, and the female is looking after a suitable male. That is the way of material stimulus. And as soon as a male is combined with a female, the material bondage of the living being is at once tightly interlocked by sex relation. And as a result of this, both the male's and female's attraction for sweet home, motherland, bodily offspring, society and friendship and accumulation of wealth becomes the illusory field of activities and thus a false but indefatigable attraction for the temporary material existence which is full of miseries is manifest. Those who are therefore on the path of salvation for going back home, back to Godhead, are especially advised by all scriptural injunctions to be free from such paraphernalia of material attraction. And this is possible only by the association of the devotees of the Lord, who are called the Mahatmas. Cupid throws his arrow upon the living beings to make them mad after the opposite sex, whether the party is actually beautiful or not. Cupid's provocations are going on even among beastly societies who are all ugly looking in the estimation of the civilized nations. Thus, Cupid's influence is exerted even amongst the ugliest forms, and what to speak of the most perfect beauties. Lord Shiva, who is considered to be the most tolerant, was also struck by Cupid's arrow because he also became mad after the Mohini incarnation of the Lord and acknowledged himself to be defeated. Cupid, however, was himself captivated by the grave and exciting dealings of the goddesses of fortune, and he voluntarily gave up his bow and arrow in a spirit of frustration. Such was the beauty and attraction of the queens of Lord Krishna. Yet they could not disturb the transcendental senses of the Lord. This is because the Lord is all perfect Atmaram or self-sufficient. He does not require anyone's extraneous help for his personal satisfaction. Therefore, the queens could not satisfy the Lord by their feminine attractiveness, but they satisfied him by their sincere affection and service. Only by unalloyed transcendental loving service could they satisfy the Lord, and the Lord was pleased to treat them as wives in reciprocation. Thus, being satisfied by their unalloyed service only, the Lord reciprocated the service just like a devout husband. Otherwise, he had no business becoming the husband of so many wives. He is the husband of everyone, but to one who accepts him as such, he reciprocates. This unalloyed affection for the Lord is never to be compared to mundane lust. It is purely transcendental. And the great dealings which the queens displayed in natural feminine ways were also transcendental, because the feelings were expressed out of transcendental ecstasy. It is already explained in the previous verse that Lord appeared like a mundane husband, but factually his relation with his wives was transcendental, pure and unconditioned by the modes of material nature. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshu Om Mirtamina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vacharam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Bhute Shri Gurum Dinakaranam Vancha Kalpataru Vyashya Kipas Hindu Vyadevcha Patitanam Pavni Vyogaishan Vyjuna Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama So we are towards the end of this chapter number 11 where Lord Krishna's pastimes are directly given, not the expansions. So here, even in first canto we see from 7th chapter onwards, Krishna appeared and started displaying his transcendental pastimes. So in chapter 7, there was Arjuna, Ashwatthama, and then later on, there's Kunti's prayers, and then Bhishma Dev. And in the 10th chapter, we saw how Krishna is departing from Hastinapur. So there, the ladies of Hastinapur, they were on the top of the roof, and they were feeling very sad that, oh Lord is leaving now. And they were conversing about Krishna amongst one another. So there is this verse there in 10th chapter. Anyonyam asit sanjalpa uttama shlok chetasam kauravendra pura srinam sarva shruti manohara. So these talks, these simple talks of these ladies on top of the roof were more pleasing to Krishna than the Vedic hymns. Because Vedic hymns indicate or glorify Krishna indirectly. But these women, ladies of Hastinapur, they were glorifying Krishna directly. So it seems very simple, but one reaches that platform after considerable performance of devotional service. So they were talking. They were talking about that, oh Lord is leaving now and he's going to go to Dwarka. So how fortunate are the ladies of Dwarka or the wives of Krishna who would spend time with Krishna. So they were glorifying the good fortune of wives of Krishna. And here we can see that these dealings between wives of Krishna and Krishna himself. So this is the topmost level of ecstasy one can experience. So Krishna is there intimately connected with these wives and they are having these transcendental ecstasies. So externally it looks very like mundane man-woman relation, but it's not like that. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes that it's totally transcendental. So this Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this access to this highest level of relationship and ecstasy. And we can actually go to this higher realm. Although this Dwarka city was present 5,000 years ago on this earth, but it wasn't a part of this earth. It was spiritual world. It was just manifested here. So to go or to reach a place, you need qualification. So many people want to go to a different country and they need qualification, you know, to fulfill so many criteria. So like for example, for Australia to become like a permanent resident, you need to, you know, have different points, so many points, and then you are qualified. So you have to do different things, your age and qualification and different things, some 120 points or something. Once you are qualified, then you go there, you can stay there. So same way, to become a permanent resident of the spiritual world, Dwarka or Vrindavan or Mathura, so we need some qualification, we need to satisfy the criteria, we need to achieve all the points. Yes, develop love, avoiding offenses, 10 points like that, for different things, there are different points. Is he serving the Vaishnavas? Is he respectful towards everyone? Like that. So there's different qualifications. So once we reach, once we fulfill all the criteria, then we can access these pastimes. So in order to access these pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that how can we approach Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are three ways given. So the last chapter of 12th canto, which is the last chapter of Bhagavatam, is entitled The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there, the three ways are given how you can actually approach Srimad Bhagavatam. So there it says, Tat Srinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchena Nara. So what are the three ways you can approach Srimad Bhagavatam? Is Srinvan. So you hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And how to hear is submissively, with rapt attention. We are submissive and with full attention. We dedicate our time for Srimad Bhagavatam, for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's one way. And the second is Supatan. So properly chanting. So when we hear, then we chant. We hear pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam, philosophy from Srimad Bhagavatam, then we carefully recite it. So it is said that actually the main qualification of Suta Goswami, who was reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, was not his his ability to remember everything. He heard from Shukdev Goswami and he repeated. So his memory was very good. But that was not the main qualification. His main good point was that he repeated in parampara system. So he did not misinterpret or add or delete anything or edit anything, or he didn't have a new version. Okay, it's the second version, second edition of Srimad Bhagavatam by Suta Goswami, a better one, revised. No, he didn't give that. He spoke with his realization. So this is the way, when we speak Srimad Bhagavatam, it would affect others if we are also following it. What we are speaking, if we follow that in our life, then it has some potency. Otherwise it's just the external, just the words. You practice what you preach. So that is Supatan, that's the second way. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we follow it on our life, and then we chant it. So that proper chanting means following it. So that's two types of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatas, person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. So person Bhagavat is the walking book. So he's following each line of the book, and that's why he's called person Bhagavat. So the third way to access these pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam is Vicharana Paro. So we meditate upon these pastimes and remember them and think about them. So by these three ways we can easily access these pastimes given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this material world is like a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. It's compared, of course, in Bhagavad Gita as a banyan tree. Udva Moolam Adhoshakam Ashvattam Prahuravya. So it's like a banyan tree, upside down. It's very complex. We can't find where it starts, where it ends. So whatever is here is present in the spiritual world. Also in 10th canto, in the final chapter, it's described that these wives of Krishna, what they were doing in the spiritual world in Dwarka, they used to sing, they used to dance, they used to play ball games on the top of the palaces. And then Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, that he writes that, so because this material world is perverted reflection of the spiritual world, so here also we can see women are dancing in discos and they are playing tennis. So he was saying this tennis playing and dancing of women is a perverted reflection of women, these wives of Krishna in Dwarka. So this is the way. So here in material world it's all similar, it's in the image of the spiritual world, but it's perverted, it's undesirable, because it looks like a reflection of spiritual world, but it doesn't bring ultimate satisfaction. So in purport, Prabhupada describes that he was putting in his words that verse by Rishabdev, Pumsas Kriya Mitoni Bhavameta, that this attraction between male and female is the cause of material bondage. So when there is an attraction, then there is a hard knot within the heart, and then these further illusory field of activities are manifest, as Prabhupada mentions here. So there's various things like, you know, sweet home, motherland, bodily offspring, society, friendship, accumulation of wealth. So janasya mohoyam aham mameti. So people, because of this tight knot, they think in the terms of me and mine. So this is my body, these things are related to my body, this is my motherland, I was born here, so this is very dear to me, this is like a holy place. So this is conception of I and mine, aham mameti. And this is illusion, Rishabdev says. Janasya mohoyam, the moha, it's an illusion. But this attraction is very natural. This prayer by actually Rupa Goswami, given in Nectar of Devotion, he says, he actually prays to Lord, that Lord, please let my attraction be towards you in a natural way, just as, you know, a young boy is attracted to a young girl and a young girl is attracted to a young boy. So this is very natural in material world. So it's very natural. So this prayer by a devotee is that, please let me be attracted by you, Lord. Even Kunti Maharani prays like that in 8th chapter. She says, Tvai me ananya vishya mati madhu prate sakrit ratim udvahataradha gange vohamudanuti. So she says, let my attraction flow towards you, Lord. Just like this Ganges is flowing towards the ocean. The river flows very naturally, you know, it's flowing towards the ocean. So same way actually our attraction should flow towards Lord. But in this material world, the perverted reflection, we are attracted by opposite gender. When there's a young boy, young girl, it's very natural there. So I can remember one incident from, I was in India doing my bachelor's degree. I had a classmate and so he was attracted, as we see in this purport, he was naturally attracted by one girl. So he approached her, and so he was very talented. He used to write very small, you know, small alphabets on small things. So what he did, on a grain of rice, uncooked grain of rice, it's very small, and he wrote the girl's name and he presented her. See, yeah. My full devotion, I have written this. I'm presenting it to you. And whatever his proposal was, so, and then it got rejected. So he got disappointed. And so he was telling me this whole past time about incident. And then, so he was very disappointed. So then I said, what did you do? So he said, then I ate that rice. So he ate the rice, but so what he meant was, you know, because the name of girl was there on the rice, so now she is within me, you know. It's like, so he ate the rice. So this is the perverted reflection we can see. So that time I was sympathizing on him, I wasn't in touch with devotees that time. So, but this is all illusion. So this doesn't take us, to the ultimate goal of human life. So this ultimate goal of human life is to be attracted by Krishna. So here we see this, this attraction in this world, material world, is because of Cupid. So here it describes. So we had this topic about these bows and arrows. So here it says Cupid has his bow and arrows. So there is this verse in 11th canto where there is a description that here is actually what happened. There was Nar Narayan Rishi, who is expansion of Krishna, and they were doing this severe penances, meditation. And Indra, as we know, every now and then he gets fearful, because if someone does big sacrifices, they gain piety, or someone does great penance, so they may attain his position. So when someone does these great things, so he gets frightened. So what he did, so here I'll read this verse. King Indra became fearful, thinking that Nar Narayan Rishi would become very powerful by his severe penances and seize Indra's heavenly kingdom. Thus, Indra, not knowing the transcendental glories of the incarnation of the Lord, sent Cupid and his associates to the Lord's residence in Badrikashram. As the charming breezes of spring created a most sensuous atmosphere, Cupid himself attacked the Lord with arrows in the form of the irresistible glances of beautiful women. So here, so that's his arrow and the bow. So that time Bhujan Prabhu was actually explaining, you know, that thing that when we see Krishna's eyebrows, how we are, the lust goes away. So that's Krishna's bow, is his eyebrows, and the arrow is his glance. So that's what is very attractive. So when we get this attraction by Krishna's bodily features, then we won't be attracted by material attraction, basically. So here in today's verse we see this word is there, this beautiful smiling. So here the wives of Krishna, they are glancing and smiling towards Krishna. So the word is valguhasa, this sweet, this beautiful smiling. So they are trying to attract Krishna by their feminine gestures, but he didn't get attracted by those gestures. But Krishna's smile and glances are so attractive, it attracts whole creation. Anyone in the creation can be attracted. There is another verse which has the same word, valguhasa. This is in the 9th chapter in first canto. So there Bhishma Dev is telling us that Lalita Gati Vilasa Valguhasa. So here that's Krishna's sweet smile is indicated. So there actually Bhishma Dev is praying that let my mind be fixed upon Lord Shri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Vrajadham, the gopis. The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of the Lord after his disappearance from the Rasa dance. So this is the topmost beautiful women in the whole creation are the gopis of Vrindavan, even more beautiful than their expansions, that are the wives of Dwarka. But even they were attracted by the sweet smiling and glances of Krishna. And then what Unmadanda, there the word is, they became like mad and blind in, because of this attraction. And when Krishna disappeared from the rasa dance, they lost their composure. They were acting like they were acting Krishna's pastimes. They were thinking, oh, in that separation, in that mode of separation. So this attraction for Krishna can be uncovered. It's naturally present within our heart, but it can be uncovered by the process of devotional service. So we were reading in our Bhakti Vaibhav class about Lord Kapila's teachings. It's the last part of third canto. I think there's 9 chapters called Kapil Shiksha, 25 to 33. So there, Mother Devahuti, she asked that, does this material energy ever give release to the spirit soul, or how does it happen? A conditioned soul is trapped by this illusory energy. So how does he get free from this bondage? So there, Lord Kapila explains that by association of devotees, satam prasangam vire samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata. So there it's described that how we can actually develop serious devotion towards Lord. So what is the key given there is we can become very serious towards Krishna with devotion to Krishna by hearing about Krishna for long periods. So that's the thing given. So if we hear from Lord for long periods, then we can become attracted to Krishna. So there it's given that actually a soul has to be attached either to material things or to Krishna or devotees. So if we get attached to material things, then it's the cause of bondage. But if we get attached to sadhus, we can become liberated. So we have this opportunity that great souls, pure devotees, we have in our society, they keep coming, and we have the chance to serve them. When a devotee comes, you know, we can serve him or her in the various ways. You know, we can pick them up, drop them somewhere, or we can wash their clothes, or, you know, serve them, cook for them. What else we can do? We can also, when we hear from them, so that's another service. We hear from them and we follow those instructions. So they will be very pleased if we do that. By all activities they will be pleased. Even if we do a little bit for a devotee, he or she gets very pleased. But ultimately, if we follow those instructions in our life, we make their instructions as our life and soul, then we are pleasing them the most. So this Prabhupada said, whatever I have to say is in my books. So how can we serve or please Prabhupada is by following these instructions given in these books. So initially, as we know, it's like example is given of an if there is a commodity, a salesman, what he does is he doesn't tell the whole description to sell. He just briefly, if he has to sell a television, he just briefly gives in a page, okay, these are the main features of the television. He doesn't give like a whole, you know, manual, okay, read this 40 pages, 50 pages, that how this television is top class. He gives a brief thing, and then when you buy, you can read more about it. The same way for devotional service, initially what devotees do is say, okay, come, let's just chant, hit prasadam, dance, and that's it, you reach the ultimate perfection. So that's okay in the beginning, but it's not like automatic devotional service, that if we keep chanting, keep coming to temple, stay in the society, and automatically we will see love of God. So what we have to do is, after, that's the entrance. Okay, That's the entry point. And then what we have to do is we have to understand about all the rules now. What are the offenses? What are the restrictions? So that's the next step. So when we understand that, then we can go further actually. So sometimes devotees say, what's the need to understand about all these offenses, different aparas and different rules? So that's to, so that we can avoid all of those and reach the next level, from Namaparas stage to the Namabhas and Shuddhanam stage. So that was the purpose of appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he wanted us to chant very purely. So he had this thing that he said, Yare Dekhata Vekavu Krishna Upadesh. So whoever we meet, we speak about Krishna. So more purely we speak, more effect it has. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this appearance. He had this, his appearance in three forms. So he was directly present, he would give direct darshan and chant, and devotees would see him and they used to get ecstatic. Or he used to make another, he used to empower a devotee, a particular devotee. He would just empower him, and then that devotee would pretty much act like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others would get benefit. And the third type of appearance Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made was his Avirbhav appearance. That was in special cases, he was always present. There's four examples given that how he was always present in the house of Mother Sachi. He was always present wherever Lord Nityananda danced, or he was always present when in the house of Sri Vas Pandit, in the Kirtans, and in the house of Raghav Pandit. So these are the three appearances of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we also have this access of, we have this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant Hare Krishna as purely as we can, and learn more about how these intricacies of devotional service, and then actually we can please Krishna. So here we see in this today's verse that these wives of Krishna, they were trying to please him by their smile or glances, but he didn't get controlled by those features. But later Prabhupada writes this thing actually in italics, that they satisfied him by their sincere affection and service. So by their glances or smile they couldn't attract him, but they did satisfy him by their sincere affection and service. So they had nothing else, they totally surrendered to Krishna. So these 16,100 wives were actually captured by the demon, and then they, when they saw Krishna, they desired to become his wives, and he accepted them. So they were totally devoted to Krishna. So so that's our lesson from this verse, that we can try and satisfy Krishna just by our sincere service, rather than our material abilities or any other things. So if we become pure, then Krishna would be happy just by the sincere devotional service. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Multi-story roof balcony and died. That's not love, it's only lust.
श्रीमद्भागवतम की श्री रघुपाद की ऐसा योग करना।